From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 26th day of May, 2011. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group. He's in Decatur, Illinois. Preview this weekend's Memorial Day Junior Cattle Show in Lincoln, Illinois, and discuss the agricultural weather forecast with meteorologist Pete Levitt from Massachusetts. Along the way, we'll hear our biweekly edition of In My Backyard from Lisa Braltz on this Thursday's Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report on Illinois Public Media is made possible with support from L&M Commodities, a full-service brokerage company serving area farmers with professional market advice and crop insurance products. L&M Commodities has offices in New Market, Indiana, Leland, Illinois, and Terrell, Arkansas.
In Chicago on this Thursday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The nearby contract in the July soft red winter wheat for the day finished higher at $8.14.5 a bushel, up 18 cents. September at $8.63, 17 and a half higher, and December at $9.07, up 11 and a quarter. July corn futures at $7.45.5, 3 1/4 higher. September at $7.18 1/4, 3.5 cents higher. In December futures, $6.76 1/4 for the new crop, 5.5 cents higher in the corn pit. March futures, $6.88 1/4, up 6.5 in the May corn, $6.92 1/2, up 4 1/4. July soybeans today, $13.84 3/4, 7 3/4 higher. The August, $13.81, up 8. September beans, $13.77 a bushel, a dime higher, and November contract up 11.5 cents, finished at $13.72 1/2 on the settlement price for the new crop beans. January futures at $13.81, up 11 1/4, the March at $13.79 1/4, up 9 1/4. July bean meal at $3.60.30 today, up $2. July soybean oil on the afternoon at $58.70, 74 cents higher. The Mercantile Exchange live cattle futures finished the August contract at $104.57 1/2, down 65. The October 50 lower at $110.30. August feeders at $123.25 were down $1.50. The September at $124.15, down $1.40. June lean hogs today at $87.80 per 100 pounds, finished down 50 cents. July futures at $87.27 1/2, down 12.5 cents in the lean hogs. That all from the Mercantile Exchange in Chicago. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures for the day. July contract, $100.20 a barrel, down $1.12. Ethanol at $2.64 1/10. That's 0.9 cents higher for the day. June natural gas at $4.32 6/10 cents, down 5 3/10 cents. And heating oil, that's diesel fuel, 3 1/10 cents lower at $2.98 3/10 cents. And the gold futures for the day, $1,522.80 an ounce, down $3.80. The Dow Jones Industrial Average now just about 30 points higher at 12,424. The dollar at 75.5, down 0.3. The CRB index at 343.3. up, or rather down, 1.13 on the day. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service on this Thursday afternoon. They say showers will be likely in the Urbana-Champaign area. It'll be cloudy, a high near 50 degrees, north winds at about 16 miles an hour, gusting to 23. The chance of precip today at 60%, tonight mostly cloudy, a low of 47, north winds between 9 and 15. Friday partly sunny, a bit warmer, but not by great bound, 66 degrees, east-northeast winds at 3 to 9 miles an hour. And then Friday night, a 40% chance of showers, a few thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, a low of 55. Saturday, 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms, a high near 77. Saturday night, mostly cloudy, a low of 65. Sunday, mostly sunny, a bit breezy, a high near 87 degrees. That's right, 87 on Sunday. Sunday night, partly cloudy, a low of 69 on Memorial Day. That's Monday. Sunny, the high near 90. Monday night, mostly clear, a low of 71. Tuesday, sunny and 88. And Wednesday, sunny and 81 degrees. A more complete look at the agricultural weather forecast for you, when we get to the bottom of this half hour. And we talk with meteorologist from Massachusetts, Pete Levitt.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension. Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Thursday afternoon. On the phone line with us today, Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group in Decatur, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Dan.
Hi, Todd.
It's been an interesting week. Rainfall, lots of talk about prevent plant and the insurance. That's a decision that really can't be made until we get to May 31st next week and June 5 the following week. But lots of things are in the air, and I suppose you've been watching the fundamentals as well.
Well, that's the main focus, is how much of the 92 million acres of corn that's going to get planted, and then, of course, how much of it's going to be planted in June with the real late planting date. So, you know, that's going to be the main focus. Things are wet enough in many areas that you could probably begin to talk about even loss of soybean acres. I know that hasn't been the real popular thing. Everybody's been thinking that planting delays in corn are going to lead to big soybean acres. That remains to be seen. That remains to see what the weather pattern is here, I guess, during the first 2 weeks of June. And we'll kind of go from there. But that is the main concern, especially on this corn. It does look like there's basically a catastrophe materializing in the eastern Corn Belt, and see how much advances Ohio and eastern Indiana can make here over the next 5 to 6 days.
That catastrophe, if it comes into fruition, what does it do to basis in those levels? How high is high for them, and how much difference might they be than, for instance, ADM Decatur, or if you want to go to Iowa and talk about what their price is, and that might be a better place to go, and talk about what that difference might be from the east to the west side of the Corn Belt.
Well, that's going to be a difficult one to play. I mean, my guess is if there's going to be places in Ohio that just ain't going to be able to buy corn no matter what price it is. I mean, I think they'll eventually bid themselves into an unprofitable situation. I mean, the ethanol plants, Ohio is a deficit corn state to start with, and if you have a half of a crop out there at some point in time, I mean, they're going to think that they can pull corn from the west to the east, but that's unlikely to happen because there's a lot of stopping points between there and the east that is going to want that corn just as bad. So it could be a real tricky situation. I mean, you could see some good basis levels in some areas. It'll just depend upon how the whole marketing year unfolds and where the production is and where the production isn't at.
Producers in our primary listening area will at least have some corn in the ground, if not all of their crop in some places. Anything that they should be doing and watching in particular at this point?
Well, I've been one that's been following seasonal patterns, and we are in this, the window in here. I mean, you can kind of go back year in and year out. You kind of have a strong tendency of making a high in corn anywhere between probably June 15th and July 15th, and that depends upon, you know, what kind of crop prospects we have when the rains come. This year is going to depend a lot on probably that June 30th report. How many acres of the 92 did we lose? And then what kind of yield prospects we have. So I think for the moment, these corn made new highs today. That's not bearish. That's new contract highs, even though we fell back a little bit at the close. But technicians always buy new contract highs and sell new contract lows. So I think the technical side of the corn market is very friendly for another leg up in prices. How high that leg is, I think it's going to depend upon what the weather forecast looks like come in here Tuesday morning.
Contract high, just a quarter of a cent above the old contract high.
It's still a contract high.
That's
Any time over the past year that you've sold December 11 corn futures, the best you could be is a penny ahead. Anytime you bought corn on December 11, you're ahead. So that tells a story, doesn't it?
It does indeed. Okay. So we've got a new contract high at 684 and three quarters now in December corn. You want to talk about where it might go?
Well, I think technically you're teeing up a move for a quick move up here to 715, 717. And the basically what I'm looking at here is the last 5-6 days we've been kind of sideways on this D's corn between 653 and 680 roughly. We tried to break above it today. We didn't quite get there on the close, but we did poke our nose above the 680. If we begin to clear that 680, I think tomorrow or Monday or so, then that kind of opens up that gate for a quick, you kind of take the midpoint of that range, which is like 666. The most recent low here is 615. That's about 51 cents. So you'd add 51 cents on the 666. And then that, you know, a lot of technical people will be, the next step up here would be about 717.
Okay, now I want to put your cash grain hat on for the producers that have not planted in southern Illinois, in parts of Indiana, in Ohio. I suspect they'll be watching this move much higher, this move higher in December corn, but they'll also see cash basis for delivery jump well above these marks. Where do you think that needs to be for them in order for them to put corn in the ground?
Well, that's each individual. I wish I could give you a number, but this is what the market should do. It doesn't necessarily mean the market will do that, but the market should give continue to incentivize people in those areas to plant corn, whether it's up to June 5th, June 7th, June 8th, June 10th, pick the number. And that's what the market, I think, is going to do here over the next 2 to 3 weeks, is to try to get as many acres planted as it can, because when you start looking at demand projections, at this point, we're going to need every acre we can get planted, as shaky of a start that this market has gotten.
All right. Thank you so much.
Very well.
That's Dan Zwicker. He's with ADM Grain Group in Decatur, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. Happens each and every Thursday afternoon.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
If you'd like to hear what Dan has to say again, you can do that on our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find all of our agricultural programming, from the pre-opening market report to the closing market report. Dave Dickey is here now, your director of ag programming, with the news for the afternoon.
In agricultural news, the House Agriculture Appropriations Subcommittee has approved cuts in the 2012 agriculture spending bill. The cuts means that if the appropriation stands, the Commodity Futures Trading Commission would not get the funding it was expecting to enforce the Dodd-Frank Financial Services Bill, and USDA could not move forward with a proposed rule change for the program regulating the marketing of livestock and poultry. But the overall spending level for agriculture programs went up due to increases in food stamps and the child nutrition programs. However, the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities says the House Republican proposal would force WIC to turn away $325,000 to $475,000 eligible low-income women and young children next year. The markup for the agriculture bill in the House Appropriations Committee is scheduled for May 31st. Meanwhile, Democrats on the House Agriculture Committee sent a letter to President Barack Obama calling on him to fight against what they characterize as extreme budget cuts being proposed by House Republicans. In their letter, the Democratic Ag Committee members urge the president to reject the $30 billion in cuts proposed over 10 years for farm programs in the House passed budget blueprint written by House Budget Committee Chairman Paul Ryan. Well-capitalized Brazilian soybean farmers are buying fertilizers and seeds early this year in order to avoid price hikes. Farmers in the top-producing soybean state of Mato Grosso have already purchased 40% of the fertilizers and seeds needed for next year's crop. The sheer volume of fertilizer sold this year, backup ideas that Brazilian soybean planted acreage will grow by 2.5 to 3 million, or up to 5% more than in 2010. H.J. Heinz Company's fiscal fourth quarter profit rose 16%. The Pittsburgh-based food company also raised its dividend by 7%. Net income rose to $223.9 million, or 69 cents a share, for the period ending April 27th. That's up from $192.4 million, or 60 cents per share a year earlier. Heinz says that emerging markets will generate more than 20% of its revenue in fiscal year 2012. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. This weekend, the summer fair season will kick off in Lincoln, Illinois. The Logan County Fairgrounds will host the 10th annual James Flock Memorial Day Show for juniors. The cattle show starts at noon. Exhibitors are not pre-registered for the show. Weigh-ins for the 2010 age calves only begins at 7 a.m. May 28 and ends at 10 o'clock in the morning, says show committee member Larry Martin.
Then we have a clinic coming in this year, Sullivan Show Supply, which is the largest in the world, along with Showright Feeds, is going to sponsor a clinic for juniors. It's a free clinic to learn how to show and clip and things like that.
The clinic runs from 10 to 11 a.m. The beef cattle show starts at noon. The entry fee is $30 a head the day of the show and open to all breeds, heifer and steer classes for each, as long as there are five animals. The show organizers expect there will be about 130 animals in 35 to 40 classes. Grand champion steer and heifer premium is $1,000 each. The James Flock Memorial Day Cattle Show for juniors is this Saturday on the Logan County Fairgrounds in Lincoln, Illinois.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Common Ground Food Co-op in Lincoln Square Mall. Community-owned since 1974, Common Ground is a full-service grocer featuring organic and local foods grown right here in Illinois. More information is on their website at www.commonground.coop.
Hi, this is Illinois Public Media Director of Agricultural Programming, Dave Dickey. Coming up next, life on the farm is changing, as Lisa Brotz discovered in her latest edition of In My Backyard.
Farming has stereotypes, like all farmers ride tractors, or all farmers live in the country and are isolated from what goes on in the real world, or all farmers are men. In much of the world, women are the primary food producers. In poor countries, 70 to 90% of all food is produced by women. In the United States, 1 million women identify as farmers. That's 30% of the total number of farmers, and that number is growing every year. While tending small organic operations is certainly not the domain solely of women who farm, it seems that a lot of women getting into farming choose that method, like Lisa Haynes. The first time I saw Lisa was at a farmer's market, only she wasn't a farmer at the time. She was working for another organic farmer for some extra cash while she was in school, studying to be a nuclear engineer. She now owns and operates Tomanu's Farm in Mahomet, Illinois, and sells what she grows at farmers markets through her community-supported agriculture shares and a little to retail and wholesale customers. What began as a desire to homestead and be more self-sufficient on 7 acres is now an almost 40-acre ode to diversity on the farm.
We do a lot of small amounts of livestock. We do broiler chickens and heritage turkeys. We do goats and goat milk. And I guess we usually do pastured veal. We've got lamb. We do a wide range of grain crops. We've got, you know, your corn and soybeans, tofu, soybeans, wheat, barley, oats, peas. All of our ground right now is either certified organic or going into transition.
It's Lisa's farm, but Tomanu's is a family operation. Her husband, who works off the farm, and teenage son, who goes to high school, contribute by fixing machinery, working with livestock, and other on-farm tasks.
When Maxwell, our youngest, was really young, he was homeschooled, so the farming fit in really well because there are so many learning opportunities on the farm. I think that he's really learned the value of hard work. He knows how to work really hard. It's kind of interesting to me. I'm always surprised at the knowledge he has about the farm. He'll just, you know, we had a calf that was a little sick a few weeks ago, and he said, oh, you need to get electrolytes for that. I mean, he knows little things like a calf scouring, you got to go get electrolyte for it.
She also employs a small staff. Working with her staff is almost like parenting, she says, although her staff wants to be there working maybe a little more than Maxwell does. She disabuses her potential workers of any romanticized notions about farming.
You know, I tell people during their job interviews that this is brutal. They're going to hate it. They're going to be sore. It's not fun. It's not easy. It's satisfying, but there's very little that's super great about it. I mean, it's all hard. You feel good by the end of the year. Everybody's really strong, can do tons of stuff, and we've grown a lot of food for a lot of people, but it is really hard. I mean, my goal with most of the people who come and work here is that they will eventually, you know, kind of graduate and go get their own farm and move on with it. It's definitely, I want this to be a learning experience and not just going out and, you know, hoeing a row of peas. I want them to understand everything along the entire process as much as they can and use that to go start their own farm somewhere.
It's not all pests or weeds or drainage problems, all issues that come up on the farm every day that get dealt with. It's not all laying awake in the dark, second-guessing a decision made during the day. In addition to teaching the occasional class at Parkland College, being involved with the Farm Bureau, and writing grants that permit her to do studies on her farm, Lisa has other outside interests.
We try to do a lot outside the farm. It's hard because it does take up a lot of time, but we used to race motorcycles a lot. My husband's getting back into it. I'm thinking about getting back into it, but I had an injury several years back, so I'm a little nervous about wrecking my farm season. I did just run the Illinois Marathon. People kind of asked why I would be running because I work so hard, and I say, I don't know. You know, farm work's not that aerobic. I need to do it.
But eventually, everything comes back to the farm.
I have sort of fleeting ideas like, oh, how cool would it be to grow tilapia? But it's not going to happen. I think I'm doing what I want, really. I just want to do it better. And that's a consistent goal, is to get better at it, make better decisions.
This is Lisa Braltz for In My Backyard.
Lisa Braltz's stories can also be heard on our website, WILLAG.org. Click on the In My Backyard link in the right navigation window.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
This is the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason. Back in just 2 minutes when we'll take a look at the agricultural weather forecast with meteorologist Pete Levitt.
It's National Blueberry Cheesecake Day. Perhaps the first written cheesecake recipe goes back to the first century AD when Marcus Cato, a Roman politician, wrote an essay on agriculture called De Agricultura. In it, he describes a recipe for a small sweet cake often given as a temple offering, that contained 2 pounds of cheese well crushed in a mortar. By the way, cream cheese was invented in 1872 by William Lawrence. He distributed cream cheese in foil wrappers from 1880 under the name of the Empire Company. You may know it better as Philadelphia brand cream cheese. On this day in agricultural history in 1862, Isaac Babbitt died. An American inventor, Babbitt created an alloy widely used for friction-reducing bearings. In 1908, the first major Middle East oil strike was made. A gusher of petroleum rose 50 feet above the top of the drilling rig and smothered the drillers. And in 1999, Waldo Lonsberry Seaman died. Seaman was an American inventor who is credited with the invention of vinyl. PVC is found in hundreds of products, including garden hoses and imitation leather. By the way, vinyl is the second most used plastic in the world. Seaman held over 100 patents, and his technical expertise led to his discovery of 3 other major new polymer families, including synthetic natural rubber and oil-resistant synthetic rubber. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Thursday afternoon. On the phone line is Pete Leavitt, agricultural meteorologist. Good afternoon to you, Pete.
Good afternoon, Todd.
And tell me about the weather forecast for our part of the world and then to the east and definitely to the south, where they've not got a lot of corn in the ground yet.
Okay. Well, first, starting right there, there's a line of showers extending from Michigan, eastern Michigan, southwestward through northern Indiana into southern Illinois and southward from there. That represents a frontal system, a cold front with cooler air behind, which is what you're experiencing right there in Illinois right now, and warm, very moist air ahead of it. This basic pattern is actually going to continue for the next week. We have high pressure over the eastern portion of the country, which is going to be very stubborn and moving eastward. It's going to slide enough east for the cold air to get down into Illinois with some clearing weather and temperatures getting well down in the 40s tonight and maybe again tomorrow night. But then the front stalls and the high pressure builds a little back west. This boundary layer line separating that very moist air to the east from the colder air to the south will be the focus of showers once again. And we're looking for wet weather to be right back with us again by late Saturday and on to Sunday, and probably well into next week. As far as the eastern Corn Belt is concerned, of course, as the showers leave Illinois heading eastward, they're getting back into Indiana and Ohio, and they'll have some significant precipitation in the next 24 to 36 hours. But that'll finally give way to drier, albeit warmer, weather when this high pressure builds back in again and the front shifts westward. Now, the problem with all this moisture in the eastern Corn Belt is that where the planting has been so much delayed, the latter part of the crop, the unplanted part of the crop, is the hardest to get into the ground. That's why it isn't in the ground now, so that it even takes less moisture than would normally hold up a crop to delay crop planting. So getting the last 10-20% in the ground is very difficult, and we don't see a weather pattern that favors that happening anytime soon in parts of Indiana and Ohio.
You mean anytime soon, like in the next 7 days?
Well, let's say the next 14 days, anyway.
Oh, my. that's a long time. Pete.
Right. Meanwhile, we're going to get some showers back into the upper Midwest and the northern plains, and that's another area where they've had all kinds of problems with delays, whether it's planting or trying to get the any winter wheat mature, spring wheat into the ground. Corn planting is behind. So it looks like a very late season that we're seeing here.
You've been following the weather for a long time in the Midwest and around the nation. See anything like it?
Yeah, there are a few things like it. I don't think it's as bad as the 93 where we had Lake Iowa, although it's going to give a fair imitation of that. I think as the next few weeks go on, we start getting a lot more rain back in there. A very wet and a very cool season seems to be in prospect. That seems to be the best analog for this year. And the hazard that presents, of course, is that if this pattern of a late crop and a slow developing crop turns into an early finish to the crop, then we've got a major problem for the long-term crops, like corn and soybeans.
Thanks so much, Pete. Mm-hmm. Pete Levitt, agricultural meteorologist, joins us here on the Closing Market Report on a Thursday afternoon. You have a great day. I'm Todd Gleason.